Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to today's edition of Evangelize for Life with Stephen Glover, evangelist, church planter, and missionary. Stephen is the former National Evangelism Missionary for the North American Mission Board, a former church planter, who holds a master's degree in church planting and evangelism from Liberty University. Stephen has served as a domestic missionary for over 12 years, and evangelism is something he does every day. Now here's your host, Stephen Glover.
Peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Welcome again to Evangelize for Life with your host, Stephen Glover. So glad to be back in the chair today. Thank you for taking the time to tune in. And even though my wife, Robin, was in the chair last week because we were actually implementing what we profess or proclaim on Evangelize for Life. We were out evangelizing the Toledo Mudhen game, and I'm going to share some of the results from that outreach. But before we do, let's move into the word of prayer because we have a great program for you today talking about equipping and mobilizing people within the body of Christ to do evangelism. You know, Jesus had the same problem with laborers. He said the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And so let's pray together before we begin. Father, we just pray for your empowerment today. Lord, we know, God, when we preach your gospel, when we obey the Great Commission, the Lord tells us that there's going to be opposition. There's going to be resistance because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities that, Lord, that push against your kingdom being established on earth and that resist your lordship. God, we pray for your empowerment. We pray for your word and your spirit not to return void today as the gospel is proclaimed. And Lord, many will be mobilized to go out and to preach the gospel and to mobilize others to do the same. And we pray, Father, for your power and your Son to be exalted in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, like I said earlier, it's good to be back, but we had a great outreach. A couple guys from the church, Gil and Jared, we partnered together and went down to the Toledo Mudhen Stadium where they had a baseball game against Buffalo somebody. So this was a different venue. We normally operate downtown in a different area, usually in front of a courthouse where people are sitting outside and talking. We kind of stretched ourselves this time, attempting to reach people as they were entering the ballpark or just standing outside, or there were many bars and clubs, and handing out hundreds of tracts to not only those who were in attendance, but my greatest success came from engaging the employees who were standing outside smoking cigarettes. But the thing was is that, you know, we had an opportunity to share the gospel with a number of people, had an opportunity to give out gospel tracts. And, you know, the thing is, had an opportunity, as you listened to the previous program, to engage a couple of young men online with an interview, a phone interview, sharing the gospel. So if you would like to kind of hear how I do it or how we do it, tune into the program that talks about sharing the gospel at sporting events. So before we move any further, I wanted to kind of address an important topic because when we do share the gospel, when we do equip people to share the gospel, one of the things that's important is not only the attributes of God, it talks about his holiness, his righteousness, his godliness, his purity, his immutability, you know, those things, his omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresence, but also that there should be a certain amount of fear that goes along with sharing the gospel. There should. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, according to what the scripture says. And when you look in the early church in Acts chapter 5, here's an example that the church is just being established, just being formed. And so God sends a message to those not only in the church, but those outside of the church regarding the seriousness of membership or the seriousness of following and having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And what I mean by that, you guys know the story in Acts chapter 5 of Ananias and Sapphira, who were, most of the people during that time were selling their possessions and having all things in common. And this is not socialism. This was just the people, the church was mobilizing, and they met in homes, mobilizing to make sure that others were provided for. And it was sending a message to those who were outside the church regarding the unity of the local body. But there was a wife and a husband, Ananias and Sapphira, who kept back some of the things that they were selling, and they kept it back for themselves. Now, they were not obligated to give everything, but they attempted to deceive Peter by giving a certain portion and holding back the other amount. Now, Peter said to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land?" So this individual or his wife and wife and husband sold their land and brought the proceeds to Peter. But they didn't bring it all. And verse 4 says, "While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God." So, again, I just had a conversation with a young, older woman who was calling on behalf of the Jehovah Witnesses, attempting to encourage people to subscribe to the Watchtower. And we had a conversation where I was trying to emphasize the Godhead, and I actually brought her to Acts chapter 5, where we talked about the Holy Spirit. And he is identified here to Peter and to Ananias as being God. "Why have you lied to the Holy Spirit? You have not lied to man, but to God." Verse 5. "So having heard these things, these words, Ananias fell dead and breathed his last breath." Now, word gets out. His wife comes and finds out what had happened. Now, she was in on this too. And Peter said to her in verse 9, "Why is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband," meaning the pallbearers, "are at the door, and they shall carry you out as well." So she immediately fell dead in verse 10. Now, some people may say that God is harsh, but God is not harsh. God is establishing his church and the criteria for being a member of his church. So we see that she breathed her last breath, and the young man came in and found her dead, and they carried her out, buried her along with her husband. Now, this is the verse I want us to really look at. Verse 11 of chapter 5 says, "And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. At the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's portico. But none of the rest dared to associate with them. However, the people held them in high esteem." So church membership wasn't a flippant, casual approach. The people understood that they better not join that church unless they were sincere, unless they were real. God knows their heart. God knows our heart. But for whatever reason, the approach to church membership has changed. And so not to get into the fact that we're dealing with church membership, but we're talking about the holiness of God. We're talking about God and how we relate to God, even in the body of Christ. Now, John MacArthur, in a book that he had written called Shame of the Gospel, this guy just talked about knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade man. So knowing how God used the church, the preciousness of the church that was purchased, that was formed, that was orchestrated by the blood and the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ on the cross. All of that came about through his ministry, his sacrifice, his giving of his life, his death came about, the church came about through his sacrifice. So John MacArthur says this pertaining to Acts chapter 5, verse 11. He says, instead of luring people to church by making them feel comfortable and secure, God used fear to keep unbelievers away. The fear of God was a central doctrine in the early church. Believers and unbelievers alike were taught to fear him. None but a rank fool would deal frivolously with God. It was the very fear that drew people from salvation and kept them obedient, or drew people for salvation and kept them obedient. However, the Holy Spirit is genuinely drawing someone, whenever the Holy Spirit is genuinely drawing someone to salvation, that person's heart cries out for deliverance from sin. The gospel call is not an invitation to join the fun and end emotional pain. And that's pretty much what we see today. That is the ministry, that is the approach to evangelism, is entertainment. But here in Acts 5, we see that this is not entertainment. This is a relationship with the Creator who is holy, pure, righteous, and the Bible says that God is judge and will one day judge the living and the dead. Matter of fact, I was sharing with someone today, in the book of Revelation, Jesus talked about bringing his judgment with him. In Revelation chapter 22, the Bible says, let the one who does wrong still do wrong, and let the one who is filthy still be filthy. He's saying, let the wicked continue to be wicked, let the unjust continue to be unjust, let the righteous still practice righteousness, and let the one who is holy still keep himself holy. Why is he saying this? Those who are living righteously will receive a righteous reward, and those who are living unholy will receive an unholy or judgment for their actions and their behavior. Because he says in verse 12, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. So why is it that we persuade man, because of man's depravity, because of man's wickedness, we should be persuading men, members of the church should be persuading men and women to establish a right relationship, because sin has separated us from God. We must be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. So we must persuade men, because judgment is inevitable. Judgment is coming, and Jesus, who is judge, will judge the living and the dead. Now, John MacArthur quoted 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, knowing this holy, righteous God, knowing this God of perfection that requires that our righteousness exceed that of the Pharisees, knowing that unless we are perfect, we cannot enter into the kingdom of God, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. That's evangelism. That's apologetics. That is presenting the gospel, presenting the truth of the gospel to lost people. But we are made manifest to God, and I hope that we are made manifest also in your conscience. Now, the method we use the way of the master, and I believe that that's not the only method, but you can incorporate various methods, but it sticks with the seriousness that we find in the book of Acts, where people are will one day be judged for their sin, and hell is the consequences. That is why we persuade men, snatching some out of the fire, because judgment is inevitable. Judgment is inevitable. So haughty sinners who ought to approach God in terror are emboldened to presume on his grace. Sinners hear nothing of divine wrath. That is as wrong as preaching rank heresy. So John MacArthur later in the same chapter and same heading discusses the fact that sinners hear nothing about the divine wrath of God, And because they do not, in evangelism, that's heresy. So the thing that we want to do is that we want to equip, we want to train, we want to mobilize people to do evangelism, but do it biblically. Do it in a way that it's not to move people into the church per se, not into the building, but into the body of Christ. And upon doing so, you know, the Bible tells us that God adds to the assembly as it pleases him. He's the rest, and he is the one who builds the church. So wherever a person ends up, he says in Ephesians that God, he's given to the church some apostles, some prophets, some teachers, some evangelists to do the work of the ministry. But God is the one that does that. Now, one of the things that you find in the body of Christ, and even in that chapter of Ephesians, that he talks about, he's given some evangelists for the equipping of the saints. One of the things that I do is to help equip people to do evangelism. Now, one of the things that, in a book titled Total Church Life, one of the ways, or a couple of different ways, there are five different steps that we as believers should do to mobilize people in the church, because there are only so many missionaries who are paid missionaries, but we're all called to share the gospel. Many forget that. Many don't understand that we're all called to share the gospel. And if we're going to totally penetrate our world, which the gospel demands, we need a total participation from every church member. Every church member should be trained and should be equipped to share the gospel. So that means the laity, that means the deacons, that means the paid staff. Everyone is commanded, and according to the Great Commission, to go and preach the gospel. So the first of the five steps to begin to mobilize people, or mobilize laity to witness, is to enlighten the laity, because most Christians do not share Jesus because they don't realize that they are supposed to witness. They don't realize they're supposed to witness. I don't know how they don't know, because when you read Scripture, it's throughout the Bible that Jesus said, go into the world and preach the gospel. And he said the kingdom of God is at hand. And, you know, you look at the early ministry of Christ, the disciples, that they began their ministry by preaching repentance. So, according to this particular author, they think witnessing is the job of preachers and vocational evangelists. And it is a spiritual work, and they do not feel spiritual. Now, I don't think that, hopefully most people don't feel this way. Hopefully they'll understand and they hear from the pulpit that everybody is responsible. But even, believe it or not, there are some ministers who don't see themselves as being responsible for preaching the gospel. In the same book by John MacArthur, he quotes Paul writing to Timothy, where Timothy is encouraged or exhorted by God to do the work of an evangelist. And you do find that in 2 Timothy chapter 2 or chapter 3, I believe, where Paul is encouraging Timothy to reach out beyond the comfort level of his own flock and to boldly proclaim the word of God to his to unbelievers. And I think that happens often, that pastors get weighed down with discipleship and training their flock, but they lose that admonition and also the power. The completing of the ministry is as far as doing the work of an evangelist. So Paul wanted Timothy to face the world courageously and preach Christ crucified. He wanted him to proclaim sin, righteousness, judgment, and God's law. He wanted him to declare the depravity, not the dignity of mankind. This is what MacArthur is saying. He wanted him to herald the second coming and warn of an eternal judgment. He wanted him to magnify the cross, the resurrection, atoning grace, and faith. He was urging Timothy to be solemn and persuasive in confronting unbelief. And that is why it's so important, guys, that we do evangelism. If you're interested in joining this conversation, feel free to call 646-200-4203. 646-200-4203. 200-4203. Now, that was an admonition for pastors to do evangelism. Well, the thing, too, it starts at the top. How do we engage the laity? Well, the pastor, according to Robinson, in Total Church Life, says this: the pastor and church leaders must preach, teach, and instruct the laity in truth about the role of the layperson in the life of the New Testament church. The laity must realize that witnessing is not an option. Jesus gave no choice. Witnessing is mandated. Sharing Jesus is every Christian's job. So it's not just the pastor, but, again, he just wrote, it begins with the laity, or begins with the pastor and the church leadership equipping, mobilizing those to share the gospel. Number two, enlist the laity. Lay people are enlisted for every task under the sun. Matter of fact, the church is weighed down with so many non-essential tasks. And every ministry, and you've heard me say before, that every ministry should put as an emphasis evangelism. So the women's group, the men's group, the auxiliary group, or the food group, all of it should be based on the fact of sharing the gospel. He later goes on to say, unless it does, lay people will be enlisted in so many committees, activities, social functions, social service projects, and recreational events that they have no time left to participate in witnessing, though the organized church or through the organized church outreach ministry. Then they will have no incentive to practice lifestyle witnessing daily. So what is he saying? The church can get weighed down with frivolous activities. Hey, yes, some of those things are good things, but that is not the best thing when you consider that people are perishing. Was it 150,000 people die every minute? That's serious, because the fact that is, that's a multitude of them, or numbers of them, or scores of them, will go and spend an eternity in hell. Now, I can remember if that's 1 minute or per day, but I know it's a lot of people who perish, and so therefore we must enlist lay people to evangelize. And I know there's going to be different levels of maturity, but the training we do, the training I do, helps to mobilize people to do evangelism, because that is what Jesus commanded us to do. The last thing he told us, his disciples, to do was to go into the world and preach the gospel. And he said that you would receive power. So that when we go, and as frivolous, as helpless, as confused, and inequipped or inept as we are, the Spirit of God will take his word and he will use it. He will use it. And because the word says his word never returns void and always accomplishes what it's sent out to do. Next thing is to equip the laity. And this is what I mentioned earlier, is that we must train our lay people to witness, to share the gospel. It's not hard to do. Find an evangelism method that includes the things that we've discussed, and if people have some concept of Scripture, then, and I think about even the conversation I had with the Jehovah's Witness, these people don't even have the truth. They reference the Bible. They take the Bible out of context. But here this woman is calling on the phone, probably elderly, cannot get out on the street like they are commanded to do, as they earn up their hours in order to enter their paradise, because it's a work-oriented religion or false teaching, where they're trying to, I guess, 144,000, that particular part of heaven has been closed out, but they're trying to earn their salvation. But the mere fact that she is on that phone calling strangers is beyond belief. I've never gotten a phone call, for the most part, never, other than once, maybe twice. I can't even remember those two incidents where someone is trying to witness to me. I've had Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses try, but very few times, if any, of any Christians, any evangelical Christians, trying to share the gospel. So we must equip the laity, and that is, you know, find an evangelism method that that people can learn, and that's what we're doing now. We have one or two who one guy's familiar. Jared's already been using that method to evangelize, but we're introducing another member of our church to share the gospel using the way of the Master. And so we just see the life in him from just even handing out tracts, just taking the necessary steps. That's one of the steps, is begin greeting people and then move to handing out tracts and then begin engaging people. But the fear that so many people struggle with, the Bible says he's not given us a spirit of fear. The Bible says that we are the righteous as bold as a lion. So what we do is that the church should provide periodical opportunities for witnessing training and activities to train people to witness. Training events and schools, however, are not adequate alone, because the people should have opportunities on a regular basis to practice week by week and to get instruction to participate in outreach. Well, I know we don't have much time, but step number four, engage the laity. Give them opportunities to get out and share the gospel. We go out every week. If it's not at a sporting event, if it's not in front of the courthouse where you've got hundreds of people in and out of that building that are willing to talk, willing. I've noticed that even at the sporting events, it's more of a recreational time where people come to enjoy themselves and to kick back. We have the resources, but downtown in front of the courthouse is more of a time of sorrow, a time of helplessness, and that's probably why you see the difference, or why we see the difference between the two, where people cannot trust in their resources because they don't have them, but they have to turn to God. So next thing, after engaging and giving the laity opportunities, will be maybe evangelizing again this Thursday at the courthouse, or even on Friday at a hip-hop concert or a rap concert. Plenty of opportunities in the summers, guys, to get out and share the gospel. And then once they do go out and share the gospel, according to Robinson, encourage the laity. Continuing and consistent encouragement is essential to keep the fire of personal witnessing burning bright, is what he said. And Jesus is our model for witnessing encouragement. Again and again, he acted as a spokesman, or he spoke encouragement to his followers to reach out to the lost. He told them that they were the light of the world. He tells us that we are the salt of the earth. He says that we will be fishermen of men. He says the fields are white for harvest. So Lord, help us. Help us. If the harvest is plentiful, Lord, please send out laborers. Please provide the resources to equip the laborers to share the gospel. Oh, definitely begin with the household of God, Lord. What will we do when we stand before you, knowing that we have been given so much? We have been giving, as you say, that the slave who has been given much will be required much, Lord, and we have so many resources today, yet we continue to hesitate in that great commission and snatching those out of the fire and warning those of the fear of the Lord. Lord, help us. Help us sinfulness. Lord, I pray, dear God, that things will change, and you say if your people who are called by your name will just humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from our wickedness and our emphasis on buildings and programs and things that are non-essential to the church. Lord, help us. Help us be more mindful of reaching the lost. Thank you again for joining me today. Evangelize for life. Please do it. Please. May God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you.